Coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, this is the Anarchy in Podcasting Network, and I am Opti. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Crows, the stories of Runner Daring Do must continue to be told, even the ones that old Opti might not want to be told himself, such as the times when I get myself into trouble and can't get out. And here's such a story. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale about a favor owed, a favor redeemed, and a runner who pays his debts. Most of you crows know at least a little bit about Seattle. Quite a few of you have been on runs there, so you probably know about the docks district of Everett. Combination of sleepy, rain-infused, blue-collar dock worker homes and mob businesses. The streets have fronts containing everything from massage parlors to organ leggers. That's where my chummer Keelan grew up. His family, the Finians, were mostly UCAS naval personnel, Federated Boeing laborers, dock workers, and some black sheep involved with the triad syndicates or mafia families that control Everett's more colorful venues. Keelan, or Finn if you like, was from the black sheep side. The rest of his immediate family were all goblinized, but not him, and it ain't easy being the only human kid in a family of trolls. Lots of accidental deaths while roughhousing. Scars kids for life. Anyway, his folks didn't come by work easy, so they worked long and hard for not much to live on. Not to mention that the ancients gave him quite a bit of trouble over the years. Still, he grew into quite a runner, heading wherever he got paid, except I know that he refuses to take work in Chicago since, you know, bugs. Word is he had a particularly harrowing time of it. Who can blame him? So here's where I cross paths with him. Sometime in the late 50s, Finn's sister's boyfriend or something got himself infected with HMHVV, ended up as a Zunu Kwa. Nasty things those are. So, she heads off into the Salishe Woods to, I don't know, rescue him? Not the most well-thought-out plan, but, youth. Finn was still getting his career going and was still small Irish potatoes, so of course Finn and some of his chummers and family pile into a van to go rescue Mountain Lass and her Monster Man. Now, they were lacking in magical backup, so their fixer, Mr. Kwan, told them he'd get him some magic mojo on sale. So they paid Kwan, and Kwan sent me a message. He says, go meet these runners in the Salishe Forest and monster hunt with them. But by the time I arrived on the scene, things were already getting hairy. Forgive the pun. Finn's sister Jackie was hysterical, screaming and begging and crying, while Finn's cousin Maxie was busy prepping his new cyber arm by letting the Zunu Kwa tear his old one off. By this time, everyone else had various holes, compound fractures, perforations, plenty to keep the local clinic busy for a couple days at least. That's when I come out of the forest and throw down some manna from heaven at the beast, drawing his attention away from the sizable family reunion and onto my lonesome self. So Jackie's beast friend charges me, and I put a manna bolt into his eyes. But he still keeps charging. That's when Finn slammed into the thing with the van, crushing the beast, the van, and Finn along with it. Split his head open something fierce, and I honestly can't remember, but I'm pretty sure he ended up getting some kind of cyber to patch things up. After all was said and done, they owed the mob for getting patched and cybered. Didn't leave much for my fee. I hung around, got them all to safety. Before I left, Finn looks at me and says, oh my, you made a friend here today. We wouldn't have made it out unless you were there. I owe you one. Don't forget to call it in. I'll be there. And we went our separate ways. I didn't see Finn again for some time. I had heard he'd become some sort of smuggler, coyote of some note running around the Salishe lands doing mob jobs till he finally bought himself out. He did end up mixing it with the ancients again just a couple years before retiring. They kidnapped his dad, who had Alzheimer's. Jeez. Finn didn't react well, and many ancients knew what it was to be roasted in the belly of an explosion that day, I can tell you. But just a few years ago, I was on a job in Chicago, after moving here myself in the 60s. Did a lot of bug cleanup, but I missed the worst of it when Chicago was overrun. So I was hired to head into the basement floors of one of Shiawassee's subsidiaries down by the docks, and I got ambushed by a bunch of wasp spirits. They slammed me down hard into the cellar, and when I woke up, I was on the top of the building, hanging upside down. I was in the middle of a ritual, the end of which looked like I was going to end up as a host. To the right and left of me were a couple of unfortunate blokes who looked like their bodies couldn't handle the strain and just shriveled up. So I used some magic fingers to grab one of their comms, and the only number I can remember is Finn's, who owed me a favor, but I hadn't seen in almost 15 years. But damnedest thing, he answers, and I say, Finn, I need some help here, now! And as it turns out, he isn't terribly far away. But I spend the next nail-biting 20 minutes convincing him that if he doesn't get his hoop down here right now, he will be a dishonorable slot fragger, and I don't care if he doesn't like bugs, he needs to come now. He hangs up all flustered, and I think I'm gonna die, or worse. About an hour later, the wasps come back and start the ritual, which I never want to relive, so I'll spare you the details. Right as the mana gets high and I'm about to become hive-minded, I take a look behind me as Finn comes up over the roof tower with a GMC Banshee, lasers and assault cannons, cutting the bug spirits to shreds, but somehow missing me in the process. He makes short work of the hive and gets out of the ship for about 5 seconds, which he uses to cut me down and says, if you aren't on board by the time I strap in, I ain't at fault. So I hop in, Finn takes me home, and he looks at me and says, I told you I'd never come back here for a reason, but now our debts are paid. And it was good to see you, Opti. Take care of yourself. Don't ever call me again. And then he gives me a grin, which lets me know he was only half serious. I haven't seen him in a couple years. I did have to call him to make sure it was okay I shared the story. You know how some runners can be. But since he's mostly retired now, it's all good. And I still manage to talk to his crazy mountain shaman troll sister every now and again, too. She's a trip. Spends too much time alone, I think. And while you might have spent this time alone, you have wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unanunium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your host, kicking kinky karma kebabs for the kids in the Kano, knocking knives on Knavely Kneecaps, kirking kingdoms kazoos while clutzily kayaking with Kami, the Khan of Kudos, the Kabold of Knowledge Keys, killing Kleenex with a single kachoo, Opti. Enjoy your freedom. You might not always have a chummer to bail you out.